Robert?
Robert, what do you think?
No, thanks, Jeff and Farrah. So when you kind of think about like our panel, like litigation hold and duty preserve, you really got to start kind of at the beginning about kind of the underlying duty here, which specifically, you know, requires us as litigants to, in particular, our clients, to preserve documents that would be, you know, potentially relevant to a litigation. Now, this has pretty long history in our law, actually dates back to English common law, to the 1600s, if not earlier. For what we're worried about here in the States, it's found in a lot of different places. In our own common law, both federal and state, in the rules, federal rules, and there's some state law equivalents, as well as certain statutory requirements, depending upon the case. There may be some statutes that have certain preservation obligations that are put on the party. You know, from my perspective, I typically deal more with federal common law, but for folks, you know, who are dealing more with state practice, you really got to pay attention to kind of the individual state requirements as well, although there tends to be a lot of similarities. The issue for all of us, of course, is it's, you know, when you think about kind of the duty to preserve, you think about what is needed to preserve, you know, potential evidence, documents that are potentially relevant or that relates to a case. So that, you know, that is, you know, easy to say, I think, when you think about the duty of preservation generally. And so when you kind of think about the duty of preservation generally, you know, it kind of says that on, if we go to the next slide here, that it's jurisdiction and case specific. But when you kind of think about how to articulate a rule, that rule is a party must take reasonable steps to preserve relevant information for active and reasonably anticipated litigation. So again, that's pretty easy to state. You gotta take steps if you're in litigation, but or you reasonably anticipate litigation, and that seems reasonable. After all, the word reasonable is in the standard, right? But the problem is, of course, is how that works in practice, particularly now with respect to electronic data. So ESI, it presents particular challenges for us that we'll be talking some about today. But really, kind of when you think about preservation in the ESI context, it dates back, we're going on almost 20 years for a line of cases called the Zubilek cases, but has since been applied more broadly. So kind of when you think about this preservation requirement, that's your duty. That's your duty as an attorney for your clients to make sure that they're following. But of course, you know, that leads to the question, well, what happens if they don't? You know, why is it important to you? Why is it important to you as an attorney, as a litigant? It's really, I think, critical, because if you're not actually preserving relevant evidence, you can turn the litigation into the failure to preserve rather than the actual underlying merits. And also, you know, depending upon the case, the actual evidence that your client has could be favorable to you, right? If you have a breach of contract case, sometimes your best evidence is going to be with what was being said with the other side, and you want to make sure that's preserved. And also here, you know, as far as the consequences, you know, it can be very direct, as it says here. There may be monetary awards. Your client may have to pay costs and fees for the other side bringing the action. Courts often start with that, but then it moves from there. There could be real impacts on your actual ability to undertake a defense. There could be sanctions imposed for lack of preservation that could mean you're no longer kind of at the at the minimum, no longer to able to contest the authenticity of certain evidence. It could be also certain facts will be admitted as true. You could have certain claim, certain defenses stricken, or you could have certain claims be defaulted against you. In other words, we've seen this a number of times where failures to preserve evidence mean that default judgments are entered against you. And then there's other sanctions where, for example, the lack of preservation goes to the jury, and the jury is permissively able to take that into consideration, or they're ordered by the court to infer your lack of preservation, your client's lack of preservation against your client. It's also important to you because in rare cases, individual attorneys have been sanctioned because of the failure to undertake with their client appropriate preservation steps.